This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Hello from Zagreb, in the name of the Croatian Association of the Visual Artists, and thanks Slot for inviting us here, and we are really keen to present this story of our incredible building, and we are the lucky ones that have this wonderful work and living experience in this extraordinary exhibition space, and it's exciting, though very hard history. So I don't know, since you came here and then you see this exhibition and it is this multitude of images and videos and sounds, which actually on a certain level are telling you about the intensity, I hope, of the entire story. And actually we try to combine few narratives in one exhibition. One narrative is, of course, about the architecture of the building itself, about its transformation during the history. In the same time, it is the narrative of our recent political history and social history that basically somehow focused on this building for the very various reasons that I will talk about later. And also there is the narrative of the contemporary art practice, especially the segment that is about site-specific and context-specific situations. And these artists find our building very inspirational in both ways. And also it is the narrative about the fight of democracy and finally with the returning of this building back to the original owners, which is the Association of the Visual Artists, was in '90s after the Homeland War, the first important victory of culture over the politics, and it certainly signifies that the changes that we are hoping are ready for the future of our country. So basically the pavilion was conceived and designed by Ivan Meštrović, who is the most famous and, according to many, the most important, the best sculptor that we had during the 20th century. He was a magician of a sort. He was one of these capable personalities who were able to conduct the very hard task of inventing and actually building public culture building and institution. So he combined three initiatives that were simultaneous. The new square in the eastern part of central Zagreb was created that needed the marker, the landmark building. That was the one situation. The other one was that the artists of Croatia were not satisfied with the existing exhibition spaces. They were trying to find the ways and even raise some money to build the new exhibition hall that will satisfy the conditions of how to exhibit the modern art of that time. And the third, and probably the most important, because it was politically motivated initiatives, was to erect equestrian sculptor to the Petar Karađorđević, the liberator, the king of the Serbian dynasty that was at that time ruling Yugoslavia. Now, this was politically in the 30s very tricky situation, since the Croats of that time already considered the Serbian dynasty to be oppressive and public was not in love with it. So Meštrović, who was very influential as a cultural worker and a person, and also he managed to talk the Serbian king at that time to transfer his idea of the equestrian sculpture and to give all these funds to allow it to be used to build the art pavilion, which he said will be a longer-lasting monument to the dynasty within the context in which it is not liked. He was probably very right, and this was decided to do that way. But From the beginning, the history of Pavilion was connected with the politics which proved to be devastating for the next 60 years. So the Pavilion was built according to one of the most daring and very controversial designs of the time. It is the circular pavilion, as you have seen in a front in the first room, which actually is all about the original design. It was all based on the sacred geometry. So it is, I hope it is right in English, heavily symbolic in a way, which also gave it extra power in attracting all the political agendas that follow. It was very pure in design. So you have the circle, you have the mirror symmetry, and you have the triangle, which is kind of like circle standing for the one and only eternal, the God, or God-like, the symmetry about the duality of the reality, and then the triangle of same signs as the kind of a plane on which through which you built this sacred geometry that is manifesting the rule of universe from rapport and harmony between macrocosmos, microcosmos, and macrocosmos into the third dimension. And this is why, by many the architects, and I hope there are many architects at this moment here present, architects being the most important, the most holy of all the artists. So building came into the being, and it was opened by the exhibition of the half history of Croatian, half a century of Croatian visual arts, and it was considered to be the last monarchist event that happened in Yugoslavia. We are talking about 1938. All the prominent politicians were present. Everyone was happy, and then 2 years later, in 1945, the Second World War came to Croatia. The Yugoslavia was over. I forgot to tell you that the concession to the King Peter Meštrović made a relief in the entrance of the central exhibition space that was actually equestrian. That was in 1941, immediately removed permanently. And in 1941, witnessed the establishment of foundation of the Quisling, independent state of Croatia, ruled by the fascist Ustaše regime, and Ante Pavelić, who immediately decided to do something about this building that was actually manifestation of the connection of Croatia with the Serbian dynasty, that was now the enemy. And that was one goal. So you remove that part of symbolism by changing the building into the mosque, because the idea was to win politically the Muslim population of Bosnia for the Croatian cause, based on the theory that Catholics and Muslims are Croatians of different cultural heritage and traditions and religion, which was kind of a very, very strange and forward concept for the fascist regime. Anyhow, the works were ordered to be immediate, so the artists were given 3 days to leave the building. The architects made the design, Slavko Požgaj, who did the beautiful interior that you have seen, that you can see on this wall in this room, which actually the most startling feature is, of course, the ornaments that were adorning the entire interior of the mosque. As you know, according to Islam tradition, the figurative representation is not possible, so all the visual elements are ornamental, but these actually manifested the political standpoint of Pavelić, because it was the blend or the fusion of the early Christian Croatian ornament from the 7th century with Islam Arabes. It was kind of the strange and the beautiful mixture that you can see on the plates on this wall. The most startling basically change happened outside. Architect Stjepan Planić was commissioned to actually put the most imposing elements of the minarets around the building. And he came to the very peculiar solution. He erected three minarets, which is not in the tradition of Islam. It is usually one or four, which is the most common. He decided on three, but in front of the pavilion, he built the beautiful octagonal square with a fountain, and the fountain as the fourth minaret, basically that is water vertical, and this one was basically positioned across the cathedral because the pavilion and now the mosque was with the biggest and most beautiful avenue of Zagreb visually connected with the cathedral, which is of course the in country like Croatia, it's the core of the Croatian national identity. So also this idea of connecting Croats and Muslims, they were all Croats, so Catholics and Muslims, was realized in terms of urbanism. So it took them 3 years to build the mosque. It opened in 1944. In 1945, the war was over. The Zagreb was liberated by the partisans, the communist movement, and the mosque was closed. Then it remained closed for 2 years. The Muslim clergy was in the mosque, but it was not operating publicly. And then the communist government decided to do again the transformation by, and also in the same way to create, to use this beautiful building in the heart of the city as a museum of national liberation and revolution, and also to deal with extremist Muslim population. So the decision was again very swift. It is always with totalitarian regimes. In 1948, the minarets were torn down. All the ornaments were taken away. And Vjenceslav Richter, one of the best architects of that era, was commissioned to adapt the building to the needs of the Museum of Liberation and Revolution. And so he did. And Richter is one of the most important representatives of functionalism and international style in Croatian architecture. He was devoted leftist and intellectual, and then he also, in his work, applied what was the revolutionary practice, which is kind of tradition was not important, we are creating a new world. So he completely denied the circular shape of the building, and he introduced the theme of trapezoid, is it in English? Yes, and then dynamic path of stairs leading up and connected all the segments of the museum, and he introduced really most beautiful installation, museological for the museum that was influenced by the avant-garde tradition of constructivism, and you can see that all on the panels over here. So the minarets were torn down, but the fountain remained until today, and it is considered today to be the part of the whole of the pavilion because it fits so beautifully, and actually it was believed that it improved the original Meštrović design in terms that everyone felt that this circular building in the center of the rectangular square was rotating constantly and doesn't have the emphasized entrance. So the fountain did it, and also on the symbolical level you have the circle, which is the heavens, and then you have the rectangular shape, which is material, the earth, and then you have the octagonal, who is in between and is a mediator in between heavens and the material, or spiritual and material. And so this is for you who are architects to just start to think how many levels you have to think about to make it lasting in a way. So the design of Richter was though it was heavily criticized by all the experts because there was immediate demand that building should be returned to the original shape, lasted until 1990. So the curators of the Museum of the Revolution in the 80s for the first time publicly demanded and commissioned Crnković, the architect, to make the plans of how to restore the building back to the original shape. It was too early after the war of 1990. The president of that time, Franjo Tuđman, had the idea again to transform the building into the what he called is going to be the Croatian Pantheon, because he felt the need that the country that gained independence after 700 years should present its history in one object, and what would be the best object than this beautiful pavilion, always against the story. We, when I discuss it with the colleagues, we basically start to believe that not just this symbolic power of the building and its location, which is also very significant, but also the purity of the form, the abstractness of the form in a way, which was so aesthetically beautiful, but for the politicians, probably to their eyes and minds, it looks empty, like something that is beautiful for them to fill in with their visions of the current national strategies of Croatia. But at that moment, the Association of the Artists made very long and very thorough research of the history of the building, and basically, together with the curators of the Museum of the Revolution, made the exhibition documents, arguments. You have the original posters over there that actually proved to the public that building should be returned to the rightful owners, the Association of the Visual Artists, because they were the only ones who were legally the successors of those who invested the money to build, to actually construct the building. And kind of battle lasted for 2 years, which was very public, very heated, and the artists won. And this is how they were suddenly given this building and this responsibility of what to do with it. So the first decade was actually trying to fundraise the money to start to return the building to the original shape of Meštrović, because everyone believed that is what is needed, and also this is somehow like the strength of this original design was constantly fighting to materialize itself again into the reality of sorts. So they actually managed, and they hired Andrija Mutnjaković, who is also giving the statement in this film. He did design all these designs that are by Crnković and Mutnjaković are even more pure than the original Meštrović design, and the work started in 2001 and they were finished in 2003, which is just the first half, I would say, of the reconstruction. So we managed so far to reconstruct just this central space with this beautiful glass dome that was a miracle of engineering of its time, and that it actually symbolized this starry skies in the daytime, but it also kind of transfers directly the universe, the light of the universe or God or whatever you want to make it directly into the exhibition space. And during the night, this man-made light was going up back to the skies. This was done. I'm not going now to talk you about the maintenance problem of this beautiful dome. But anyhow, that was done, and it was really... I forgot to tell you that for the needs of the mosque and the needs of the... especially later for the Museum of the Revolution, first, during the mosque time, they built a smaller dome behind the below the glass dome. But for the Museum of Revolution, who had the real issues with the problem of insulation, and of course the light is enemy to the museums. So they covered it with bitumen, which I don't know is it English term, which is kind of asphaltous material, which really make it black, as you can see on the images over there. So you have this black sun suddenly. And so this was cleaned, and then the opening ceremony was exhibition of the tradition of light installation as a branch of constructivist tradition of Croatia. And you can see this beautiful footage in the movie. It was almost like a public performance with the masses of people that came, and then the sound of gong, and then they just let the sun in. And people were just spontaneously crying. It was really beautiful and very symbolic again. But this is where the works stopped. Here you can see the basically the shots that were taken during the reconstruction. Now we are having the problem that democracy has this weakness, that has all these excuses about recession and not having enough money, unlike the totalitarian regimes that have a very strong agenda. And of course, there was no money during the Second World War. There was no money during the aftermath of the Second World War. But the things were done because they, in the opinion of the rulers of that era, had to be done. Now you have this basically very massive Association of the Visual Artists. We have 1,373 members. But economically, we are not strong. Politically, we are not, of course, very influential, because culture is never the prerogative, as you well know. And actually, there is no agenda for democratic government, with all the, we can say in their excuse, all the other troubles, to give the much needed money to return the pavilion back into this original shape. And then we came to the idea that we should actually use the building as this powerful vehicle that we feel daily as something that is going to bring us money for the reconstruction. So to use it as a inspiration for the exhibition, and also to make the kind of series of exhibition that will give the information about this architecture internationally, because we believe that might be the source for fundraising, and also to kind of put it in the context with other museum or exhibition places that are circular, like Guggenheim, like Hirschhorn, and like, I believe, Renzo Piano's Far East pavilion in County Museum in Los Angeles, the only beautiful building there. So, and this is thanks to the Sloth, our first opportunity to present the exhibition. And for this, we also thought that it would be actually present you the power of the building, because I don't know how much it comes through the images of the architecture, but you can see it to the works of artists that play with the history, that consider the form, the acoustics, the shape of the building. So this is how we came out with this complex narration in this exhibition. And also one of our members, Željko Senečić, the movie director, when I told him in June, oh, we are going to have this exhibition in September, he told me, I'm going to make a documentary, I'm going to finance it, I don't care. So this is the power of this building. And this is also, I guess, one of the manifestations of the power was to inspire Aaron and Osvaldo to invite us to come to Sloth at the moment when they saw the exhibition, and what Josip Zanki, president of our association, is stating in this movie, there is no artist or curator who came into the building that immediately didn't offer to do the exhibition or to conceive the exhibition that is somehow always related to the site itself. And basically, how long am I talking? It is enough. So thank you very much for the attention. And also, if I can, Josip Zanki, our president, is here. He is also artist, and Zoran Pavelic is over there in the back, the guy that was passing you the badges and who is dancing, and this is his work, and we use the title of his work, Political Speeches, Suprematism, as a title of this exhibition. It is very vogue, it's very poetic sentence, but it was installed during this exhibition elections in the end of the 90s that actually changed the conservative government to the liberal one. And I told him, I was then curating other galleries, we are going to end up in jail with the works like this, but I guess politicians don't understand it. But also, it is not very favorable to the art and aesthetics of the 20th century, because the suprematism is a kind of aesthetics that also is revolutionary and also want to break and annihilate everything that was before it. So in a way, it is at the same time the critique of this very strong tradition and the influence of avant-garde aesthetics in our cultural scene, and the same time with the politics. And as there is a saying, I don't know how to translate it in Croatian, so the two shots on the top, they are the shots of installation, but then the third one is actually the funeral of the president, Franjo Tuđman, who died immediately after they lost the election. And the image that was most exploited in media was actually this shot with this installation that is all about the totalitarian approach to the politics and aesthetics of the 20th century. So it is kind of like the poetic justice in that too, and then from that on the work is always displayed with this third image that was basically appropriated from the news of that time. And it is kind of like symbolizing everything that we hope is past, but you never know. It is daily fight. Thank you again.